This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We are at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy, live at the Beacon Building right in downtown Manchester. You can come on down, have some lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can watch the show ringside over here. She has on tap today, she has two soups. She's a great soup maker. She has some chicken rice soup as well as some chicken cordon bleu soup. Yikes. I have to stay away from that one.
Yeah.
Goes right to my you-know-what. But we are in studio with Steve Freeman's joining us, Wake the Health Up America, and he brought with him his friend Kate Regan. You are the editor-in-chief over at Edible New Hampshire Magazine. So welcome to Food for Thought.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. So how did, I'm looking at the magazine. It's a beautiful magazine, nice pictures, So tell me a little bit about how this came about.
I don't know. I launched last year, last May, and it came about because I really wanted to get into food writing. A friend of mine was writing for Edible Long Island, so one of my sister publications, and I just loved the magazine. I loved their mission. I loved what they were doing for the community, and I thought, you know, we really need that here. We really need that here in New Hampshire, and we didn't have one. So I started it and I pulled everything together the first issue came out last May. I was covering just the seacoast of New Hampshire for four issues. So all of 2015. And now we're expanding. We're covering more of the state. We're working in the Monadnock region. We're working here in Manchester with the co-op. And soon to be in the Lakes region and the North Country.
Good for you. My gosh.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love the look and feel of it. I don't know if all the issues are like this, but it's not like a high gloss magazine. It's very kind of soft and muted, but I like that. It just kind of fits in with the feel of New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's this matte stock paper, and it gives it this collectible feel. Mm-hmm, like you don't want to read it and toss it in the recycling bin. You want to, collect them, keep them all on your coffee table. It's a conversation piece, and people love them. People pick them up for the photos, but save them for the recipes.
Yeah, there's a lot of great recipes, and there's also, I like that there's a lot of stories about local restaurants or breweries and just the people. It just kind of helps you feel connected to what's going on food-wise.
Yeah, that's the idea, is to offer this sense of community in a highly digital age. And I think that's what the readers really love about it, is I get to connect with, farmers, restaurants, everything right here at home in New Hampshire.
It's a great magazine. I've seen it for years in other communities. And what I love about it is if there's one up in Maine, you grab it, you can see what all the local restaurants are, local suppliers and stuff. There's never, if I'm not mistaken, you're not going to see an ad for, New Balance or Polo. It's all local source businesses, not necessarily food, but people who care about their community. And kudos to Kate and the publication. I think it's one of the most beautifully laid out design magazines ever.
It's really nice.
The articles are great. The recipes are great. The photography's exceptional. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So
glad you're enjoying it.
How do you go about getting the stories or the subjects for the magazine? Do people contact you because they've got a great story, or do you search them out, or both?
Both. Definitely both. So I plan about a year ahead of time, and I have this really amazing core group of freelance writers and photographers that I work with, that are capable of doing research pieces or developing recipes, writing different types of stories, and they're fantastic. So we come together and, we brainstorm what do we feel like the community really needs to hear at different times of the year. And then sometimes people will just come and pitch a story, and I'm like, that's great, I didn't think of it. Perfect. Here's the deadline. Every time I meet with my advertisers or with chefs, I always ask them, what do you think? What would you like to see in upcoming issues? I want to make sure that the community has a voice in what we're printing, because we want it to be relevant.
And it's quarterly?
Bi-monthly. Six times a year.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So that keeps you busy.
We're busy. We're busy. But we love it. It's a lot of fun.
So where can people find this magazine?
You can find it at the co-op. Okay. You can find it at the Bedford Harvest Market. There's about 150 locations in New Hampshire right now that are carrying it, and it's predominantly our advertisers and relevant businesses. So we're at specialty food markets, farm-to-table restaurants.
And it's a free publication,
right?
It's
a free publication.
So it's a great way to get some free recipes. And not only that, but I didn't feel like the advertising was overwhelming at all, but I'm always looking for a new place. And sometimes you just do like a Google search. You get the same stuff over and over again. You don't always see, you know, the new places. And so it's just enough advertising to say, oh, you know what? That's a place I hadn't heard before. That's a place I haven't gone before. So it's a great way to get ideas on where to go out to eat.
Yeah, that's definitely a goal. It's meant to be a resource. So not just, you know, stories and recipes, but also, you know, trusted restaurants and stores and food producers and farmers that, you know, it's a great way to flip through and find new resources in your community.
Like, have you ever heard of this? The Joinery?
No.
Oh, my God, you have to go.
What is it? Please tell us about that.
Yeah. It's a new market.
Joinery. I've never heard of
it. It's right in the mill in downtown Newmarket, and it's just a little open kitchen, farm-to-table restaurant. We test and style and photograph all of our recipes at the Joinery. And Brendan, the chef, is a good friend of mine and amazingly talented. It's got a little bit of a Southern flair. The food is excellent, and the brunch on Sundays is absolutely to die for. If you're ever in Newmarket, you really have to swing through.
Wow.
But I love having a destination to go to try new places.
Make it a destination.
Yeah, I really do.
I thought it was a wood shop, personally. Joinery is woodworking terms. And then I read it. I'm like, I want to try it just because the name is so cool.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's a story behind it. There's a story behind all of those interesting names like that. Now, do you ever do stories, I know this is probably a silly question, but about beverages like wineries or anything like that as well?
Not a silly question. I have like a department that I have in every issue, and I call it Liquid Assets. It's always about local beer, wine, spirits, bartending, cocktails, anything like that. We do, and in May, so keep your eye out, in May, the whole issue is going to be dedicated to drinks. So we're visiting wineries, we're going to breweries, we're trying local milk right now. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll get a copy of one of those in here for you.
So, Steve, how do you know Kate? How is the...
Kate approached the Manchester Food Co-op because she's crazy and said, I want to get involved and be a board member. And this was about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And she's just a shining star. She's been incredible. She just rebuilt our website, I think, in her sleep Thursday night. Our website has been, like, kind of flawed from day one. And finally, she gave it a whole new facelift. It looks like the magazine, which is beautiful. Maybe slightly like the magazine, but photography's awesome, bold print, easy to read, easy to navigate. So she came on board. We met with her. She talked about wanting to get involved with our co-op and our community. And here she is. And I said, hey, do you want to go talk about your magazine on the radio? Let's go.
And here we are.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I'm looking at all these different places. Blue Moon Evolution. That's in Exeter. Yep. Oh, my gosh. That sounds... all these restaurants I've never heard of. Turnip the Beet.
Yeah.
Meals to Go.
That's
so cool.
She is phenomenal. And it's prepared foods. It's in Dover, also in the mill. Brand new. She just opened her doors, and it's all paleo. So grain-free, dairy-free, refined sugar-free, and it's all locally sourced. And actually, when she was thinking about, you know, going kind of commercial, she picked up a copy of one of my magazines and flipped through, and that's where she got a lot of her contact information for local farmers.
Right.
And she told, you know, I called her. I stumbled upon her stuff on social media. I called her, and I said, this is fantastic. We have to talk. And she said, I actually know exactly who you are. And so it was a perfect, like, business-to-business connection that, you know, wasn't even intended. And so here she is now, and one of our advertisers.
That is cool.
That's a really bold move, especially in New Hampshire. I don't think it's so bold in maybe Boston or L.A. to have such a specialized restaurant, but in New Hampshire, that's, you know, there's very few places I think like that are so specialized. And I think it's great to have some more of that. I wish we had some more of that.
Definitely.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's definitely coming. I think I talk about it on behalf of the co-op, but the food revolution is finally happening. That was hijacked, you know, 50 years ago. It's coming back to real food, and all these food allergies are being cured through these specialty cafes and restaurants. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome for we, the people, because we get all these choices of diversity.
Yeah, for sure. For those listeners tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web, WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. We are in studio with Kate Regan. She is the editor-in-chief of Edible New Hampshire Magazine. You can find them on the web at EdibleSeaCoast.com.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah,
okay.
EdibleSeaCoast.com.
EdibleSeaCoast.com. And we're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy, live at the Beacon Building, 107.7, WTPLFM.com. We're in studio with the editor-in-chief of Edible New Hampshire Magazine, Kate Regan. And I love this magazine. And, you know, like you said, it's a magazine, and I always have magazines on my coffee table. And this would definitely be a magazine that it's like a don't throw away magazine.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, you have magazines you throw away, and then there's magazines you don't throw away. This is definitely a don't throw away. I love the pictures in it. And like you said, a resource. You know, it's a resource for, you know, where you want to go and eat. So if somebody wants to, like, can they pay for a subscription for Edible New Hampshire?
They can, and have it mailed right to their house. I know a lot of times people, you know, because they go fast. They fly out of the places where we distribute. And so people are like, I don't want to look for it. I don't want to go hunting. I just want it shipped to my house every time there's a new one. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's $25 for a year. It covers the postage. And you can do 2 years ahead of time too. You can do them as gifts. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of programs, ediblesubscriptions.com, if you wanted to subscribe to three or more. So say you want to do
from different states.
Yeah. So say if you want to do Edible New Hampshire, Edible Boston, and Edible Vineyard, you can get all three for a discounted rate.
So is that, where do you go to do that? Cause I want to get the
EdibleSubscriptions.com.
So all squished together.
Yeah,
I always say that, all squished together.
And you can do any one of them from that website.
Oh, yeah.
Just the New Hampshire one or group them together.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Absolutely.
Definitely doing that.
The Hayseed. You know, I'm surprised to read that there's so many different restaurants in Hampton. I would have never really, it's a place Hampton, you go to the Strip. Restaurants, the bars, really.
One of the 10 best beaches in America.
Hampton Beach?
Hampton Beach.
It is a great beach. It is. And they've really fixed it up nicely. And so
I'm begging to differ. I'm giving you the look, Steve. Well, maybe the beach, but that water is way too cold. I don't know how an ocean in New England could be on that list because it is way too cold.
Yeah, but it's July, August. It's
tolerable.
It's nice. Yeah.
When it's 110 and 300% humidity, it feels very refreshing. But
it's
cultural
still too
destination.
Cold for me.
It's, you know, it's like the boardwalk of New Jersey. It's that type of beach. It's not
it
Rio de
feel.
Janeiro.
It is.
I think it's funny that it is one of the top 10s.
Yeah. That is kind of interesting. I didn't know that myself, really. Have you been to this Hayseed restaurant?
I have. It's part of Smutty Nose, and it's at their big, brand new, beautiful brewery.
Yes, which is beautiful. I've been there.
It's gorgeous, and it's right there. They put the restaurant in the farmhouse that was originally on the property, mm-hmm. and they redid it, so it's got this really great farm style feel to it.
And they actually picked up the whole house and moved it.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yes.
So the last time we were there,
To this restaurant, Hayseed?
Well, I haven't. Last time we went for the Smutty Nose tour, and which was incredible. That place is just beautiful. And the building was there and they were almost ready to open, but we just missed the grand opening and we started to go back once since then and ended up not going. I want to go so much. So it's really good.
Yeah.
I don't know
really good.
Which came first, but last summer they came out with a Hayseed beer and it's a another type of new. Michael Pierce could probably tell us more about it, but it was delicious.
I think it's like a saison, like a farm style, like sour.
It was delicious.
So good.
Mm.
Wow. So speaking of restaurants, if you haven't, I imagine you probably have had them in your magazine, but if you haven't, you should. We've had them on the air, and I have finally made it to Tuckaway Tavern.
You hadn't been to Tuckaway Tavern?
No. Finally.
And what did you think?
Tuesday night. And my plan was to get the two for, lobster roll. But the way we were in a group of people and everybody else was sharing, and I would have ended up with an extra one, which is fine. But I ended up with the ribeye. OMG. That
really?
Was so good. I love a really good ribeye, and it has to be done, perfectly. And it was done perfectly. So good.
Isn't the meat market there gorgeous?
I didn't go in. We walked past, and when we left, it was closed because we were there kind of late. But it looked amazing. I had intended to go in and get something to bring home, but I missed it. I have to go there again. So have you had them in Edible New Hampshire?
I haven't had them in the magazine yet, but I have eaten there a couple different times. Mm-hmm. It's always packed in there, and the food is so good. Yeah. It's a great atmosphere.
Did you hear what they bought? Where they're going to open up next?
I heard they were opening a second one.
No.
In Saugus, the old Hilltop. Do you remember the Hilltop?
Oh, I did hear
they
that.
They bought the Hilltop.
I did not know that.
That's huge. Huge.
Yeah. So
huge.
When I first moved here, I didn't know the big deal about the Hilltop. And it's where my mother-in-law always went with, my husband and the kids and all that for Mother's Day. That was the thing. And they, so I started going with that tradition with them. We'd always drive down to Saugus and wait in that long line out the door.
I remember the lady's voice that would call the table.
I don't
remember her voice. It was like the same stinking lady, for years, because our family did that too. We went like 2-3 times a year or whatever. And oh my gosh, it was just this, twang, in the Idaho room,
Yeah, yeah.
So funny. And then when you get a glimpse of her, it was like so exciting to get a glimpse of the lady that called your table.
That's a riot.
But yeah, Tuckaway Tavern is going there.
That's awesome.
So it's been closed all this time, right?
Yeah.
It's
nobody
been many years, right?
Yeah.
Like 20 years or so. That's a huge place.
Not that it's been closed.
I thought they closed.
No, because I haven't been there. I've only been in New Hampshire for 15 years. It's only been closed for maybe five.
I was going to say 4 or 5 years, yeah. Okay. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember as a kid that ginormous cactus.
Remember the
cactus?
No, the cows. I remember the cows.
I remember the sign as a cactus, and I was like, what's this cactus doing in Massachusetts?
I think the cactus is still standing down there.
I heard a story that somebody either did or tried to steal one of the cows after they closed.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? We were actually both wrong. It closed October 20th, 2013.
So just a couple years ago. Okay.
It did. It
seemed
like
close. It's like 4 years. Wait.
14, 15.
I have to count. Okay, maybe it's only three. I'm using my fingers.
No wonder we're all wrong.
It's been a long week.
Well, kudos to them. Good luck to them. It is a great place. I still have a gift card for a couple pounds of chicken tenders from there. And they've turned that place around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We, Daryl and I did get to go to last week. We had on, have you heard of the place in Hampstead called Lobster Q? Seafood and barbecue.
I saw that you went.
Oh.
He's been there for 6 years, which I was really surprised. I hadn't heard about that. And Daryl and I did go. I was dying to go.
Really, as he promised, dinner and a show?
Oh, yeah. Well, he wasn't there. We went Friday afternoon around 3:30. Okay. We went for like an early dinner. So he wasn't there right away, but anyway, but it's amazing. Like he does things with, lobster and barbecue. Mm-hmm. You can go in, you can have fried clams and a half rack of ribs or pulled pork with your fried scallops or pretty cool.
I'm starving now.
It was pretty neat. We split that sandwich that he talked about. It would say, on a pretzel bun, and it's with lobster salad with a thing of a blob of their homemade coleslaw, which was very good, and pulled pork all together. It was amazing.
That sounds delicious.
It was amazing. Yeah,
new restaurant, it used to be El Yimador on South Willow Street.
Yes.
Now they just moved in La Fiesta Mexicana or something like that.
Did you go?
I did. I went with 16 friends Valentine's night thinking Mexican restaurant's not going to be busy. We were wrong. It was packed. But everyone said this place was awesome. It was fantastic.
Yep,
we had a fantastic meal. All of us were very happy with our meals and definitely will go back. Great service. It was a great time.
You know what I judge my Mexican restaurants on? Because, you know, when you go to Mexican restaurants, they always give you the salsa and chips first.
Yeah.
It's their salsa. And Absolutely. Then Daryl and I like guacamole, too. So we'll get the guacamole also.
Yep.
And both were excellent. Yep. We're like, oh, no, we really like this one. Because we have one of our favorites is Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, Mexican. They're great, too.
Yeah.
I judge them by their carnitas.
That's Daryl, too.
And that's what he I got. And carnitas. I was like, this was delicious. Because it's like authentic.
Yes.
You can't Americanize the carnitas way.
True.
I guess.
And, you got to try the carnitas at Puerto Vallarta. Get the carnitas chile verde.
I'll
it comes
it.
Out in the Molokai bowl, all with the green sauce sizzling. Yes. That's what I'll get.
That's what I like. I like
my
that one
gosh.
Too.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Is that the one that has all the different meats in it?
No.
That's the one I like.
You right. Yeah. Yours, I think it's a different one. Yeah. I know which one you mean, but yeah. So, Kate. I know we're going to need
Kate
a break
here.
Shortly. Anything else you want to let us know about Edible New Hampshire Magazine?
If you haven't seen it, pick up a copy.
Or go to ediblesubscriptions.com.
Ediblesubscriptions.com. We'll send you one. You know, and if you have any great stories about farms, food, artisans in New Hampshire, send them my way. We'd love to hear them.
Sounds good. I think we're going to go on break.
Okay.
And thank you, Kate, for coming on.
Thanks
and,
so much for having me.
And I'm going to steal this from my coffee table. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am going to go to Edible Subscription.
You'll see that magazine will last through a few seasons.
Oh, I bet.
Because it's so beautifully done that you don't want to get rid of it in case you haven't tried every restaurant in it. Or
Right. All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy at the Beacon Building, downtown Manchester. Steve Freeman needed to fly out of here a little sooner than usual. He has a meeting for the co-op, so he says bye to everybody. So, Tracy,
we were expecting Gucci, so she's not here, so hopefully everything's okay. But I'm sitting here looking at the recipes
awesome.
In this magazine, the Edible New Hampshire, in case you're just tuning in. I'm always looking for great recipes, and there's actually Anna's favorite drinking chocolate.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. Reminds me of the Dancing Lion chocolate.
You know, my husband and I were just talking about the Dancing Lion yesterday, and I actually asked him if he could take a break from work today after the show to go down there and have some nice hot drinking chocolate. And he can't.
Oh.
He's in Belmont today, so I'm hoping that maybe we could go do that tomorrow. So it's funny, it's like this is the perfect time. I mean, any time is a good time of year
to drink chocolate.
The Dancing Lion. But yeah, this time, like right now when it's cold and chilly and So hopefully maybe we can do that tomorrow. But yeah, I'm looking through this and to me, a hot chocolate is, I know it's awful, but you grab the powdered stuff and you stick it in a cup of water or milk and then here you go, kids. But of course I never make it for myself because that's, I don't like it, but I never would have thought to make it like this. I'm going to do,
what
I think
is
I'm going to do
the difference with that recipe? Like what?
So
what
let's
is...
see. 2 cups whole milk, 2 ounces of fine chocolate, finely chopped or grated, choose 70% or darker. Ingredients should be just cacao, I think that's how you say that, right? And sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it.
Simple.
Heat the milk in a saucepan, add the chocolate and whisk till fully melted and incorporated. And cool the drinking chocolate for a few hours. To serve, heat the chocolate to near boiling, whisk the whole time. So you can actually make a whole bunch of it ahead of time and have that. How simple is that?
Very simple. Very simple.
And I think it would taste way better. It's even easier, I think.
Probably.
When kids come in from the snow, you have it already ready. Just heat it up a little bit for them.
Yeah. I'm not a big hot chocolate. I mean, I like it, but I tend to stay away from it because it's fattening. It's like a, sweet, it's too fattening.
Yeah, but I bet if you used like not whole milk. I mean, that's probably makes it more creamy and all that. But I bet if you used a 1% or 2%, and then if you're using the not milk chocolate, if you're using the dark chocolate,
right? But then it doesn't taste as well.
Yeah, really? But I'm gonna say, see, I am a person. I like the sweeter the better. But when I have the Dancing Lions drinking chocolate, it is not sweet really at all, and it is so good. You know, he puts other little great flavors in it, which, you know, gives it just a different taste. He actually has one, I think, with chili pepper
yes.
or something in it.
Yes,
yes.
I think
my
he
husband
brought it
loves,
in.
Yeah, my husband loves that one. And that was not sweet at all, and I still enjoyed it a lot. So I bet you could do this with a really dark chocolate and have it be a little bit healthier.
Right, right. But once in a while, I will treat myself, very, very rare, I didn't even have it this year, but I think, I mean, this is going to probably sound a little crazy, but Dunkin' Donuts has, I think, really good hot chocolate, and they have all those different flavors.
See, I think theirs is very sweet, especially the flavored ones.
Yeah, I like it.
Almost a little too sweet for me.
Oh. So where have you been eating? Have you been eating out anywhere?
Not too much. Last time I think we were out, when we didn't eat, we were at the grand opening of Puerto Vallarta. It's probably the last time that we went out. You know where we eat sometimes, what we really love is the High Street Farmhouse in Goffstown. Mm. Have you been there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love the feel of that place. It's, and they've redone it completely, but it's an old farmhouse. And you walk in and you feel like you're just walking into somebody's house.
Yep.
And the only difference is off of the main foyer, they've turned the area into a bar. You know, it's a bar and a sitting area, but it's very nicely done. But the rest of the house is like you're walking into rooms of a house with, you know, tables, and you just feel like you're sitting down to eat, you know, with family or friends.
So and the owner, the wife, runs the bar, mm-hmm. and the husband is in the kitchen.
Yep. And they're she has an nice uncanny people. Memory for people. Like, I'm so surprised that, like, she always remembers me when I go in there. She remembers everybody. They've done a really good job. And though they are everywhere. Every time I go someplace in town or local towns, when there's a community event, they are always there handing out. They do this neat little thing where they hand out a little envelope, and it's sealed, and you can't open it until you take it to the restaurant. And then you open it at your table in front of the server, or they open it for you, and it's a free appetizer or a discount off of your meal or something. I think that's really clever, and it gets you to, like, what's in this envelope? Yeah, and there's always, you know, it's always great, whether it's a free appetizer or something else, but it's... Yeah,
that is a cool idea. That's a cool idea. I like that.
And I just like that they're involved in the community, and they go places, and they always have samples of, like, their pizzas are amazing. Like when they do like a custom pizza. Yeah, and they do nachos different, and they always change up the nachos too. And the time that I had the nachos, the best nachos I've ever had, because I hate when they're just piled on top, and then
I don't like that either.
And then, you know, everything is...
Take off the top, and
exactly.
then there's nothing on
nothing
the bottom.
There. It's just not theirs. So they're not like that at all.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned nachos, because, I mean, we don't get that, you know, too often because of that. And we were at Puerto Vallarta, and this was like a couple weeks ago, but we had their chorizo nachos.
Mm.
They were so good. And it wasn't big. It was small... And it was, you know, it was just, it wasn't high, so you didn't get that, you know, like everything that you had
something
cheese
on
and
it.
Some chorizo on it. So it was really good.
So I'm looking through the magazine a little bit, and I see an article about making, making a homemade pizza. Do you make homemade pizza very often?
I do not. No.
So
I have to say no.
We make one, and it's... you know, I do buy the crust, like the, is it Boboli? Buy a crust. I haven't ventured out into making my own crust yet. But this magazine, I'm going to try this because this recipe I'm looking at is actually making the crust as well. Mm. And I think my kids would love to do that.
Though.
Yeah, that's true. You can't
just
do that.
You know, that would be one step towards rolling it out.
Yeah. I did go someplace to eat recently. Since you say that, I'll come back to the pizza. 900 degrees.
Oh, cool.
We have been twice in the last couple of weeks, and we have our new favorite place. And I don't want to tell anybody where we sit, because I'm afraid people will start sitting there.
In front of the oven?
Yes, but not at the bar.
Where?
See, I don't want to tell you. Right, so the bar is always packed, but right in front of the oven, across from the bar, is a tiny little shelf almost.
Right.
That has two seats at it.
They do? Well, they never used to have seats there.
The last two times we've been there, the place has been packed and those seats are always open.
No.
Those are my seats.
On the other side of the wall?
Yes, on the other side of the wall. So you're looking into the restaurant.
Yeah.
But the stove, the hot oven, the hot, you know, open flames and all that is at your back.
Oh, okay.
And you're not so close that it's too hot. It's perfect. And the last couple times we've been there, it's been open. So
wow.
That's my seat, though. You can't have it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So we have been there. But we make a pizza with the sauteed onions, the caramelized onions.
Which, yeah, my pizzas always have to have.
I have never made caramelized onions before, and it's so simple. It really is so simple. Just look up a YouTube video, and all you really do is just cook them kind of low and slow, a little oil, a tiny bit of sugar, and that's it. Who knew? So we get a sun-dried tomato pesto and just spread that over the crust and then put chicken over it, however you want to cook the chicken, doesn't matter. And then some cheese, just a mixture of mozzarella and whatever cheese. And then the key is a can of garlic diced tomatoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So no pizza sauce?
No pizza sauce at all. The sauce basically is the sun-dried tomato pesto.
Okay.
And then sprinkle the diced tomatoes over it, a little bit of chicken, put the caramelized onions on and the cheese, throw in the oven. So simple. And my kids cannot get enough of that. I need to start making two of them because they inhale it. It's so good.
Wow. So, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Not horribly healthy for you. But, you know, the chicken, the sun-dried tomato, it's just more, it's a more calories thing,
yeah.
You know, because nothing's really, like, you know, heart unhealthy,
yeah,
I
no,
would think.
I don't
just
think so either,
a lot of
really.
Calories with the dough. Maybe you could come up with a healthier dough for it.
Well, if you get the whole wheat dough, you know,
right.
You can get the whole wheat dough in the freezer section at the grocery store and roll that out, and, you know, that would be a little bit more healthier. Do you, like, when you do pizza, do you generally like a thick crust or thin crust?
It depends. I'm not a big crust person, though. Don't laugh at me. I really like the deep dish at Pizza Hut. But if it's not theirs, then I prefer it to be on the thinner side, but not super crispy. But the only time I eat my crust, actually, is when I go to 900 degrees. When I'm done,
it's nice and crispy. That's
see,
what I like.
I don't usually like it super crispy, but I do like theirs. And I take, you know, all the things that they have on the table, the red pepper, the parmesan, the salt, the pepper,
and
the oil.
Yep.
So when I'm done with my pizza, I always save room for this. I take my plate and I pour all of that in there. The oil. And the waitress the other day was actually like, oh, I'm going to start doing that. So I put the oil in.
And
I finish my crust with the, it's like a bread dip, basically. Parmesan, salt, pepper, red pepper flakes, and the oil. And it's
yum.
Yeah. So I leave with it, and I save a little bit of my wine just to finish up the bread. And I leave with this wonderful taste in my mouth. And then, of course, I top it off with the chocolate rocks that they bring.
Oh, I know. Those stupid things. Stupidly good things.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Huh. I'm not sure if we have one. Do we?
Yeah.
We do, right?
What? Another break?
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm asking Bob, but he's not answering me, and I wasn't sure. So let's try and see what happens. I didn't think so.
Okay.
So we do not. We do not.
So... Do you have, you said the food holiday was breakfast, ice cream for breakfast. What is your favorite ice cream? You don't eat ice cream much, though, right?
I don't eat it much. And again, because it's, you know, it has so many calories. But I like cotton candy ice cream. Like they have it over at Granite State Ice Cream,
oh,
the candy shop. And then there's a shop over on Route 3. That has it also, and it's, you know, homemade ice cream.
So we need some connections with Ben and Jerry's because I have a bone to pick with Ben and Jerry's.
And what is
they always get rid of my favorite ice cream?
Which one?
World Peace.
What is it?
It's like a cream ice cream with you know, chunks of chocolate, and it's been so long since I've had it, I don't even remember. But it was the only thing I would ever get, And now it's like every time I go, I can't find something that I really love. And before that, it was something else, and they got rid of it.
But
and
you know what I think? You know, with Ben and Jerry's, they just have so many. They're always making up new flavors, which is, I guess, a good thing. You know, but you know, like you just said, when you go to your grocery store, they can't carry possibly all of them because there's just too many. And you know, but I don't know. Let's see. I did print off some ice cream trivia facts.
Okay.
Let me look up that here. I mean, it's not really I'm kind of surprised that this is the food holiday at this time of year, but I don't know. 19% of Americans say that they eat ice cream in bed.
I have not done that once.
19%. Oh my gosh. 3% eat ice cream in the bathtub. Really? I mean, that is like, I don't know.
That should be 0%. I've had a glass of wine in the bathtub. You know, you have
see that.
You read a book, have a glass of wine.
Yeah, I can see that. But ice cream?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
That just seems weird.
Oh my gosh, this is kind of cool. I never knew this. In the early days of television, mashed potatoes were used to simulate ice cream on cooking shows. Real ice cream melted too fast under the heat from the lighting.
You know, I bet you that's done in food photography as well, too.
Yeah, it probably
I didn't think
is.
About that.
It probably is. French ice cream is enriched with egg yolks. Oof, yum. Yikes. Okay. More ice cream is sold on Sunday than any other day of the week. How many pounds of whole milk do you think it takes to make 1 gallon of ice cream?
How many gallons?
Mm-hmm. It says pounds, actually. Pounds.
Oh, it says pounds? Oh, I would have said 3 gallons, but I don't know. What is it?
12 pounds. To make 1 gallon of ice cream. Vanilla is the top ice cream flavor in the U.S., followed by chocolate, vanilla chocolate, fruit and cookies, and cream. Fruit and cookies? I never heard of that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know what I've been into lately, and probably when I leave here, I'm going to go do that. Actually, I need to go pick up my grandson, Dominic. He's coming over for the night, and I've been sewing. I've been a sewing fiend.
So I know you were sewing before Christmas. You were making gifts and everything. So what are you sewing now?
I was doing pillowcases. Well, my account controller for our company, Lee, is pregnant. So she's coming because she works remotely from Idaho. But she's flying in. We fly her home every quarter or even less than a quarter. But she's coming in and she's having her baby shower here. Her mom, you know, they all live here. She's out there because of her husband's job. So I've been making some baby stuff. I did some burp cloths, and I made her this really cute little toy rattle, like, although it doesn't have a rattle in it. It has like little ribbons all around it with a little face, applique face on it. So it was really cute. So I've been fooling around with that.
You need to sew some like food related things and sell them at the Red Arrow.
Oh, really?
Your potholders.
I love making potholders. I really do. Potholders and pillowcases are like my favorite.
Well, there you go.
Make.
Put the Red Arrow Diner logo on them, and
they'll be
famous.
Oh man, funny, very funny. So, what else is happening?
So, we're gonna have to try to get Gucci back on here. She is from. What's the restaurant?
Veranda.
Have you been there?
Yes, we have. And it's very good. It's very good. Yeah. It is very good. Let's see here.
I love that you're laughing.
You love that I'm laughing, do you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Where have you been to eat recently? Else?
We go out. Our favorite place to go, really, is the Copper Door. We know a lot of people at the Copper Door. And, you know, people, you know, when you think of Copper Door, people, I think, automatically say, oh, my gosh, it's so expensive. But we don't eat, like, dinners all the time.
Yeah, just kind of go hang out, have a drink, appetizer.
You know what they have the best? And Daryl and I are really big into charcuteries, like a charcuterie board. You don't know what that is?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Charcuterie is it's like a cheese board. So they give you different kinds of cheeses. With some little crostinis, with some fig spread, some garlic spread, capers, all grapes, slices of apple.
So that's like on their appetizer menu?
It is. Oh. And it's a charcuterie board. Another place that has a very good charcuterie board is La Belle Winery. Has a great charcuterie board.
I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, delicious. And also Canoe in Bedford has a great charcuterie board.
Good to know.
So we'll sometimes go and have a drink and have a charcuterie board. And like I like pizzas. They have very, very good wood-fired pizzas as well. And they also gave me a little tip because Daryl doesn't eat pizza, so I get the pizza. It's like $10 or $12. I get the chicken with poblano and cheese and roasted corn on it. And
that's different.
I never eat the whole thing. I mean, it's huge. It's huge.
A personal pan?
It's just one size. Okay. It's like a one size thing. Yeah. It's pretty, you know, it's like six pieces of pizza. I eat maybe sometimes I eat just one. I do take it home and I'll bring it, you know, back here to work and, you know, people eat it. I'll have it for lunch the next day or whatever. But then they gave me a tidbit a couple of times ago and they said that I can order the kids one. So I get the kids one and it's like perfect. It's like a little plate size, you know, and it's like perfect size.
So my favorite time to go to the Copper Door is in the summertime. And I go
outside.
And yes, and we don't bring our kids. This is my husband and I will just go. We'll sit outside on the veranda there.
Patty.
And it's all about the ambiance and the, because it's beautiful out there and the food is amazing and just to spend time with my husband. So anytime I think about spring, summer, fall, just when it's still warm, we like to go to the Copper Door. Yeah. I love it.
Nice. It's fun. All right, Tracy, we made it. That's a lesson I need to learn here.
Yes.
Got it. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to see everybody next week. Kale and Company's up next.